Welcome to Getting Real, our locally produced radio show that dives deep into thought-provoking topics of today and provides a Catholic perspective on each subject. Hosted by SJCC parishioners Al and Lynn Grassley, we join our hosts as they get real and help us understand how our faith relates to important issues and struggles of our day. Get ready to navigate the currents of conversation with Getting Real, where curiosity meets Catholic clarity with our hosts, Al and Lynn Grassley.
Thanks, Danny. Welcome to Getting Real with Lynn and Al.
Or Al and Lynn.
Or Al and Lynn. Linda was trying to get rid of me, so Bill was not able to show up today, so here I am.
Not yet. We're just kidding. Well, our last episode, we were talking about pornography, and we got into all the online stuff. So we decided to talk about technology in our lives for this episode.
Yes, and how it could positively affect us and adversely affect us. Is that correct, Lynn?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, a lot of us are connected to some kind of screen nowadays, and sometimes we get concerned about how to manage it in our homes, and some people don't really think about it at all, maybe, but some people are fearful of what the impact might be.
Yeah, and it kind of impacts adults, kids, marriages, friendships, a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to, set up some guidelines or make people more aware of it?
Well, we were going to talk about the topic and the reality of it. It's here to stay.
Yes.
It's not something that's going to go away. I mean, it's, like you said, there's some pros and cons of it. And then what our Catholic faith says about it, how it might help us direct our families or ourselves with it. And lastly, some ideas that we have on how we can protect ourselves and our family and still get the benefits from technology.
I wonder if they had this conversation like 80 years ago when like TV came out and people are like, oh my gosh, don't turn that off.
I'm sure.
And then
maybe even the radio.
Yeah. But I remember, we're old enough to remember that TV stations used to turn off at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. Could you imagine I wish I was paying attention. Like, hey, we're going to do 24-hour programming.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People are like, what? Insane. No one's going to stay up that late.
Yeah.
Or when they came out with the Weather Channel. Like, who's going to sit and watch the weather 24/7?
That was like my senior year of high school, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I mean, we had just gotten cable my senior year.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
I
we lived in the Catskills. You had to go to college to see it. Yeah, I know. My mom always had to have the fancy new thing. I mean, we had the first, what was it before the VCR, the VHS?
Something like
and
that.
And there was one before that. We always had, my mom loved technology. She was all about it.
So I guess the point is it's here to stay. Like, I think we talked about this probably 5 or 6 years ago, and we thought that something would happen that would make it miraculously more easy to deal with this, but it's actually become more part of us,
part of our lives, and a lot more things to be concerned about. So, I was thinking about, that we love to listen, like, stream music, and now more and more with doing the movie nights at our church, we used to always buy a DVD.
Yes.
And now we're like, you really can't find good movies. So we've gone to the younger generation to say, what do you do? And they're like, oh, well, there's this great movie, but you can only stream it.
Right.
So now we're starting to get into streaming. That's just
Night, the first, I think it was maybe last year or 2 years ago when we used to buy the DVD and then we would raffle off the movie after we played it.
And made a couple it exciting.
One kid came up and was like, well, we don't even have a DVD player. I'm like, oh my goodness, we're so old.
We're so old. I know, it's funny.
It's like we're kind of stuck in the 90s or whenever it was. I don't know.
We're coming into that. Well, I mean, like we listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And watch a lot of things on YouTube, whether it's, for entertainment or educating ourselves, finding out the news. What the cool thing is how much people have the advantage that are really creative, being able to record a song. Like there's free software out there and producing videos and even publishing books or you know, we have a podcast. We post a podcast.
Right. I mean, this is, would never be an unheard of 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And our son is, the band is in our basement, and they made like an MTV video for that one song, which is so funny. Yeah. Like, you know, when MTV first came out, it was like,
Totally, that
was a video right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So he kind of did that. It's like, this is just crazy. And then you could just upload it and share it with everybody. Because we're pretty far away from all our immediate family.
Right, right.
By choice.
Yeah. By choice. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So, and it can help us. You love the AI to check your work and...
Well,
I
used to have to write up emails, then I would send them to Linda to have her chat, you know, check it.
I have no idea what he's writing in emails these
days. GPT, but now it's ChatGPT for me. So that's very helpful, actually. And there's some things going on I shared with you at work about AI that is like, wow, that's going to be pretty incredible when it comes around. So
yeah, and you have your friend Larry that's a college professor, and he's like, you can't prevent the students from using it, but you tell them, write your paper first, and so that I don't have to endure your terrible writing, go ahead and run it through an AI, which is so funny because you hear the negative, 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 but it does help some people communicate better. So
right.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But,
there's a whole bunch of concerns and cons. That was all the positive stuff.
We'll kind of float through these. There'll be another episode soon that talks a little bit about this and how it affects our relationships and our moods and things. But addiction is a big thing, not just pornography, but the fact that you always have to be on your phone.
You have to be doing something. You can't idle. Can't sit idle for a while.
Right. A lot of the social media apps in particular, they have algorithms that keep you.
They're geared to keep your interest, to keep you looking at it.
Right. Yep. So I used to be an account manager for a large, I guess you call it a box store. And I remember sitting in a meeting once and I said, I went in to get a padlock for my locker at the gym. And I came out with $100 worth of merchandise.
They were probably like, we're doing our...
And they said, which way did you turn when you walked in the door?
To the right.
No, I went straight. And that's the way they want you to go. They had at every turn something that makes people at that time, my age, female, that would grab your attention. And every turn you would find something you'd want to look at. So it pulled you through the store. You didn't go just directly to what you needed. And you know I'm not a shopper, but they got me. So it's kind of the same thing I was thinking about on our phones, or if we're sitting at our computer on Facebook or whatever.
If you sit there and look at a specific video, then the algorithm's like, oh, this is the kind of videos that
will grab their attention.
Yeah, I like the nature videos and stuff. It's all kind of cool. And then it's like I get these whole feeds about nature videos. It's very exciting. So,
well, we've heard a lot about depression and anxiety, attention, focus issues, procrastination, health, because you're just sitting rather than being active, affects your personal relationships. I've heard a lot about false information, the social media sites acting as if they're news sources. And even our news sources on TV, we're believing a lot of slanted
posts.
News and information. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
And it's getting into depression. You know, you look at Facebook and everybody looks like they're having a great vacation.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you look at our Facebook page, you know, we're all miserable in the posts. but you know, I think it brings out the false sense that somebody else has it better than you, when that's really not the case. You know,
right. Mm-hmm.
And that could lead to you feeling like, oh, I'm missing out on something, or my life isn't as full as Lynn's life.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
So the safety issue is also a concern. Your personal information that can be stolen if you're not careful, predators, bullying, and inappropriate things that you might stumble upon.
Yeah, and that you told me to listen to that podcast, and they were talking about how kids are going to have to change their name when they get to be like 18 or 19 or 20, because they'll have such a huge, terrible, negative history on social media. And I'm like,
yeah, they'll go to an interview and they've already researched them.
I pulled up your social media here and this is the kind of person, is this the kind of person you are?
Right.
You know,
well, there's an individual in our church, they do HR and they said it's amazing how many inappropriate pictures that candidates for positions have online. And, you know, they didn't even think maybe they should scrub this. So
let's do something.
It's that prevalent, right?
Yeah.
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that we really need to reduce screen time. When you're talking about kids, there's a lot of stress and depression and sleep issues and eating disorders that they can directly correlate to that. And Common Sense Media says that the average daily media use for 8 to 12-year-olds is over 5 hours a day, and then 13 to 18-year-olds more than 8 hours. And that doesn't even include their use at school.
I know. It's crazy. Like Matt, we have a high schooler, and he comes home. I wouldn't say he's on the phone a lot, but he's always listening to music. He's a music kid.
Yep.
And I actually talked to him while we were doing this episode. I actually asked him a couple things, but he just listens to music, which is good. And he actually limits himself on the most popular social media site that his friends use. I forget what it's called.
Right. He does the Instagram with the kids. He had other ones, but we'll talk about those later.
Oh, okay.
But it's amazing how many
hours these kids are getting.
Right.
You know,
right.
8 to 12-year-olds, 5 hours a day. They should be outside causing some trouble.
Yeah, and Common Sense Media talks about, you know, they're overexposed with information but underexposed with real life experiences. Teens and young adults, they did a survey with them and they showed, the teens answered these questions like, how often do you procrastinate homework or chores at home? 53% said they did.
I'd like to see the data before the phone, because I think it's probably the same. I'm just telling
you. That could be.
I mean, like, it's teenagers we're talking about here.
But if they're working on a computer, they always have some kind of interaction with their kids or their friends on the side. So.
I used to procrastinate. I still procrastinate. I don't like reading things until they're due.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I want to keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. What else we got, Linda?
Well,
Lynn?
Teens say that the top negative influences in their lives, the number one was social media at 67%, and then was friends, and then YouTubers, which I think is funny because I just listened to a Mike Rowe podcast, and he was talking with somebody who's connected with YouTube influencers, and he was saying how much YouTubers are not who they really
are. They're so fake.
They actually rent cars, like the fancy cars and clothes, and return them. They go to a building or something that looks like a fake location. They even rent airplanes that just sit on the tarmac, but it makes them look like they're flying somewhere.
You move the camera around a little bit like they're flying. Except everybody's fake except for Mr. Beast. I mean, that guy's
Mr.
real.
Mr. Beast.
He's definitely real.
You're very funny.
Yes, but so it is funny. So, the moral of it, it's all fake.
Yes.
It's all fake.
Yeah. Well, you just have to guard yourself with that. TikTok is like probably the biggest fear. That and Snapchat. Now, Snapchat is used by mostly kids and young adults.
Yeah.
You can find your location. You can meet strangers. Strangers can meet you.
Yeah, that's something.
And that's a little spooky. But TikTok, I know, like Matt got rid of Snapchat, I think, because it was just so overwhelming because of that. Everybody knew where he was all the time. Even if you turn off your location, sometimes you had to turn it on for something you forget. But TikTok, Relevant Radio was talking about it. And we were talking about the addictive nature because of unique algorithms. Well, this is very unique. It's an infinite feed. You have no choice of where you go. You can only swipe up by your thumb. And their user feed actually determines how your profile is going to be created. So, and they have, I think it's every 11 minutes, they kind of update that profile.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah, it's super aggressive. And of course, it's the Chinese. That's why Matt doesn't have it. He said he read
the user agreement.
Yeah. And he said it actually says that you give away the right to protect even a keystroke. So every little thing, every tap that you do on your phone, they record.
Right.
And it states it clearly in the user agreement.
Well, nobody reads those.
Oh, no. I know.
So some of the profiles and algorithms are kind of you know, in the background, they're like submissive to like what you're doing. But this pretty aggressive. This one is like, we're going to record everything and make you stay on our app forever.
Right. And they also have this persuasion attempting to change views. So they gave the example of pro-Hamas versus Israel. It's like the change in views was like 56-1, whereas Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
and the other socials,
it was like 1-100. It's like complete opposite.
Yeah. So they were changing people's views.
Yeah. And they said it like once they kind of get somebody, they have something called a hot button on any race, like any topic like race or politics or whatever, they can actually turn up the heat. So you know how divisive people are on all these issues. Well, they're just fueling it, and they only do it in the United States.
Yes. That was the whole reason why they're trying to get rid of it, I think. So
do we need a station ID?
I guess we do. It's Getting Real with Al and Lynn on WSJF.
92.7 FM.
Thanks for that station break, Al and Linda. The WSJF team hopes that you are enjoying this new program, Getting Real. If you have any comments about this show or anything you hear on WSJF, please send an email to wsjf@stjoseph.cc. You can also leave a voice message on our studio phone line at 443-920-9125. Let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back.
Yeah, so we were just looking at what our faith says about all this.
Yes, Linda, so what does the Catholic faith say about the social media stuff that we're doing here?
Well, the first thing that I thought of was, you know, guarding your heart and your eyes, which is scripture from Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that in the pornography episode. But in this one, you know, you really need to make sure what you're watching is not only pure, that it's moral, but determine if it's real.
Or that, right? And also, it could desensitize you to what you're actually seeing, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I only stick with the nature videos. The
nature
video. Like, I get to see the animals, the little koala bear in Australia. It's pretty nice. But
that's pretty funny.
But if you start getting these feeds and you start looking at these things, it's like, what is it doing to your soul is what we probably should be thinking, right?
Right.
And if you're laughing at somebody that's having a hard thing, or it's dehumanizing.
There you go. Right. So, yes, Pope Benedict actually said in an encyclical that technology enables us to exercise dominion over matter. I'm going to read this. Sorry.
That's okay.
To reduce risks, to save labor, to improve our conditions of life, and use in vocations in technology. Seen as the product of his genius, man recognizes himself and forges his own humanity. And then in an article from Ascension Press, it was talking about, you know, like, the church warns us against over-reliance in technology because of all the things that we were talking about. You know, you're exposed to things, and then the result is stress and lack of sleep and faltering relationships, including with God. But if it's used for good and in moderation, there's no reason why it can't be part of an honorable Catholic life.
Right.
So we shouldn't think like, oh, you know, this is so terrible. We don't want to use it at all. There's a lot of good ways. And the other portion that I kind of looked up was in the catechism, particularly about news. You know, the
what does it say? Don't listen to the news? What does it say? if you want to be happy, don't listen to the news.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? No, what he's saying is the news, the publication of news, the gathering of news should really uphold moral law, legitimate rights, and dignity of man, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
And communicating it honestly and properly via any kind of communication.
That's a tall order,
and
Linda.
Journalists must serve the truth in for the common good.
That's a tall order for this day and age, Linda.
I know exactly what you're saying. I know. But the thing is, you know, there's an obligation to be sure you're speaking truth.
Right.
But there's also, we need to guard our hearts from what we know. Obviously, today, a lot of it isn't truth, or it's at the very least slanted. So we just have to be careful and critically think about and fact check questionable news and information.
Right.
And those are great opportunities to talk to your friends and your spouse and your family about.
what the heck is going on? It's amazing to me how the younger generation wants empirical data for any kind of decision they make. It's like you ask them what color the sky is, they'll go to Google and ask Google.
Is it blue?
Well,
what color is the sky?
Yes, what color is the sky?
And then they'll believe whatever it says.
Yes, instead of going out and making their own conclusion. Mm. I mean, I shouldn't say that.
It's a generalization, but I understand. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's like,
because it's so easy. They're like, we used to have to go to the library, to the encyclopedia, you know, or source books to find out.
The Dewey Decimal System,
yes.
For goodness sakes.
Nobody
now they
knows
could
what
just
that is.
Hook up the phone and say, what color is the sky?
So. And it's funny, my mom and dad sit in their recliners. They have matching recliners, and they call them their old geezer chairs.
Yes.
And they'll talk to each other about the latest news, and they'll say, I wonder about this. And they're like, if there were only a way, and they both pick up their phones and see if they can find
exactly.
the answer.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, so the first thing we were thinking about as far as how we should respond to protecting our ears. Oh, yeah, our ears too, our heart and eyes.
Yeah.
Would be, you know, to inform ourselves. We've talked a little bit about common sense and media. Focus on the Family has something called Plugged In. You can check on movies or books, making sure they're in line with, you know, your morals. There was something, a blog called Tech Talk Tuesday. It has a topic every once in a while. I think it's every Tuesday, right?
Every
I don't
Tuesday?
Know if she still does it every Tuesday.
No,
but
she's that's pretty old. Like
I know,
well,
but I look.
Ago.
She did have one this week, so hopefully it's every week. But it's just questions to talk about with your family and your friends,
your kids,
that
mostly.
In relation to technology, but also in some other hot topics of the times.
Yeah,
and Focus on the Family has a parent's guide to technology. You can download that one for free as well. All these are free.
Right. And that, like, I think if you're uncomfortable talking to your kids about mm-hmm. this kind of stuff.
Right.
This is a good segue
source.
Into it. Look,
it is, yeah.
So it's like you're not really accusing your kids. You're like, hey, I read this.
Right.
And I was wondering, you know, they said kids your age are doing this. What are you doing?
Right.
You know,
right.
something like that. So it's not like you're accusing of them. And there's a lot of... filtering software, speaking of kids, there's a lot
right.
of...
For kids and family, like even adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that we use Covenant Eyes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matthew is a young man now. So he's my accountability partner. So he
right.
kind of... I'm his accountability partner. He's my kind of accountability partner. So we each give other the business once in a while because
right.
he's like, hey, what are you looking at here, Dad? I'm like, oh, it was just a news feed. He's like, this looks like fake news to me, Dad. No, Matthew, it's true. It's true.
It's got to be true.
You know, if your kid's old enough, you know, you give them the responsibility to keep an eye on you, and they'll keep you honest.
Right, right.
I mean, because you're trying to keep them honest, and they'll kind of go back and forth. It's actually, I mean, it all depends on your kids, right? You know your kids better than anybody else.
Right.
There's also Net Nanny, YouTube Kids.
Yeah.
Is supposedly age appropriate, but there's
got to still be careful with that one.
Yeah.
But you're right, it limits the content. Another one called Bark as well. But they're just ways that you can communicate with your child. Covenant Eyes used to be like, you know, giving families more freedom to use the internet more safely. And now it's really focused on the pornography addiction, and which is, you know, I applaud them because a lot of people are afraid.
Yes,
to do that, but
obviously
so maybe Bark or Net Natty would be more appropriate for if you have littles, you know,
yeah.
that might be a better one for you. But yeah, look at all of them.
And I think, you know, we're trying to control our kids, but they're going to do what you do. So if
right.
you're on the phone 8 hours a day, well, your kids are going to do the same thing. So, and you're missing out opportunities to come alongside
right.
your kids
mm-hmm.
and create memories.
Yeah, we just went to, we saw a speaker, and it was a teacher, and she said it just breaks her heart in the grocery store to see little kids on their parents' phones to keep them distracted, because those are not only missed opportunities for a relationship with your child, but to teach your child.
Yeah,
in the catechism, it says that we are the educators, the primary educators of our children. It says there is no good alternative. So you should be thinking in the store, if you're, you know, picking up apples, have your kid count them as they put them into the bag for you, or, You know, for older kids, how much does that cost? Which one is more economical for us? There's a lot of missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities, yeah. I want the kid to share in my frustration of not being able to find what I want and then waiting in line. I can't believe how long this line is. Why don't they open up another register?
Patience, yep. You can teach them patience. Just don't bring Al with you, especially to Walmart on Saturday morning.
Oh, my gosh. I can't stand it, Linda.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, again, it's really showing that you have self-control by limiting the use of your device. Save it for when they're not there or in bed or whatever.
Well, this plays in with your spouse, too. Like, you want to have quality time with your spouse instead of looking on the phone and seeing what the weather's going to be like tomorrow.
Right.
You know.
So the next idea we had was creating a contract as a family. I think having, like you were saying, having the kids involved in monitoring you. Also, having the rules of the family, they should be involved in that. We did this with our kids a few times, and it's amazing how hard they are on themselves.
they're more hard on themselves than you would be. And you know, Matthew still, I mean, I feel like I'm saying Matthew quite a bit on this episode, but he still puts his phone downstairs in the kitchen when he goes to bed. It's like, this is where the phone goes.
That's the rule.
And I think that's good because he's going to move out one day.
I know.
Well, maybe he won't, Linda, the way you're treating him around the house. Maybe he won't move out. But he's going to move out. He's going to be on his own. He's going to have to self-regulate itself. So why not try to give him a good foundation? Right. Give your kids a good foundation of, hey, this is how you have to deal with this phone.
Right.
This is how you have to deal with technology. You put it away. It's better for your mental health.
Right.
And it's better for your sleeping patterns.
And we can put a link on the podcast site of how to write a contract and these other sites that we've been talking about.
Right.
People ask all the time, I hang around young parents and they're like, at what age did you let your kids have a phone or computer?
That's one, never.
And I teach a lot of kids and families where everybody's different.
Everybody's really different.
I think 13 is kind of the expected age where kids get phones because the internet supposedly, at 13 you can see more without a parental approval, but of course that never happens. Kids just get on and all that. But well, like you said, you know your kid, your family. You can always get an inexpensive, like a flip phone, dumb phone. You can make your smartphones dumb, lock them down so they can't get apps and things like that.
Yeah. It's kind of tough too because at a certain age, your kids' friends has phones and that's the way they keep in touch with each other. So you're kind of like excluding your kid, but I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, I don't know what to say there. It all depends on your situation.
Right.
So,
we were thinking about school too. There's a lot of issues going on in the school right now. And all I would say about this is just be engaged with your school. With developing and voicing the need for school policies about laptops and phones in school and, social media. I mean, there's a lot of bullying, there's texting, there's distractions in the classroom with them. So, don't be afraid to get involved in the PTA or go to the school meetings. So, okay.
All right. Let's wrap it up, Linda. This was an excellent episode.
Well, thank you.
Linda, thank you so much for all the hard work you do on that.
Sure.
So.
Well, we know that devices can be very helpful to us, our kids, our friends, and you need to find a system that works for you and within the limits and boundaries that you set.
You need to be strict with your kids.
It's better to be strict at first and loosen up later.
Yes. Don't even loosen up. Just be strict the whole way.
Yes.
And there's sometimes it's hard to say no, but you're going against the culture. We as parents need to protect our kids from the culture. We need to set them up for success. And this is one way to do it. So be advocates for your children and be sure your kids are safe and learn self-control.
Okay.
Do you got anything else you want to add to that, Linda?
That's it, babe.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to Getting Real with Al and Lynn or Lynn and Al.
Thanks for listening to Getting Real with our hosts, Al and Lynn Grassley. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to the Grassleys for their preparation, recording, and production of the show, along with Danny Gallagher, who served as the recording engineer. Stay tuned to WSJF 92.7 FM, where we are always getting real.